ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من خاف أدلج ومن ندلج بلغ المنزل. ألا إن سلعة الله غالية ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dear respected mothers and sisters, thousand 400 years back, the historian used to say, before the prophethood was given to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that era or that zamana was called as Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah. One of the main reasons why those names were called as Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance. Those people, they used to consider bad names, wrong things as correct, or this to the liberal, the prestigious people were considered the people who are doing the wrong way. For example, the people who had with them the most oldest alcohol or wine. My respected mothers and sisters, those were the most prestigious people those days. And not only that, my respected mothers and sisters, with regard to women's rights, in the Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, in the period of ignorance, the jahalat or the ignorance went to the level where the women folk were not considered even as human beings. First of all, the husband and wife, even though they are husband and wife, they do not want to give birth to a baby girl. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ضَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. If the good tidings is given to the parents that your wife has given birth to a baby girl, Quran says, فَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ, when the good tidings are given, the basharat is told, your wife has given birth to a baby girl, if this good tidings is given, بَلَّ رَجُهُهُ مُسْوَدَّى وَهُوَ قَدِيمٌ, due to arrogance, due to anger, his face will turn into black. He will not like it. Why my wife has given birth to a baby girl? They thought that it is a very unfortunate sign. So So in the first age, they do not want a baby girl to be born, my dear respected mothers and sisters. If it's a baby girl, the second stage, they do not want it. And the second stage, we know, they used to bury the baby girl while that child is alive. And they didn't consider this thing as a sin. They thought that this is the thing what we should do, because women folk is not even considered as human being. They didn't have any sort of dignity in Ayyamuja. So they did not born a baby girl. If a baby girl is born, they used to go and bury it. If they do not bury, my respected mothers and sisters, if the girl is going to live in this world, first of all, the educational rights is removed from that particular girl. They do not have the right to educate themselves. My dear respected mothers and sisters, not only that, so they will be also ignorant, they will not have any kind of knowledge. So what happens when they live? All the men folk, they have the right to go and get married with a woman, whoever they like. And they didn't have any sort of limitation. If a person has 10 wives, he can get another wife and make that girl as the 11th wife. If a person has 49 wives, he can get married with another woman and make that woman as the 50th wife. My dear respected mothers and sisters, no limitations at all. They were as slaves. And then they live together, the husband and wife, they are married. But still, my dear respected mothers and sisters, we know when the menstruation cycle comes, those women are ignored and they are chased out of their house. Even the husband doesn't want the wife to stay inside the house. This was Ayyamul Jahiliyyah. And not only that, my dear respected mothers and sisters, when the husband passes away, a woman, she cannot get married until her death again. When the husband passes away, that's her life. My dear respected mothers and sisters, she doesn't have any sort of a married life again until her death. Not only that, to continue her life in this world, she didn't get any sort of right from the inheritance of the husband. No inheritance rights for her. So my dear accepted mothers and sisters, this was Ayyamul Jahiliyyah. When Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as the final Prophet, final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, if we look the good tidings that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given to the women folk, we should be surprised to listen those things. First of all, my dear accepted mothers and sisters, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he mentioned in a house, before Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to say in Quran, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. To whomever Allah will, Allah gives a baby girl. And then Allah says, to whomever Allah will or wish, Allah gives them a baby boy. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when speaking about the bounty of children, Allah is speaking about Allah will give a baby girl to whomever Allah wishes. So see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives priority to women folk, that the first of all, when Allah is speaking about the children's bounty, Allah says Allah will give a baby girl. And even Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith, in which house a baby girl is born, in that house, the first child is a baby girl. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that house is full of barakah and rahmah, mercy and abundance. My dear respected brothers and sisters, not only that, even the education rights were given to the women folk. The education rights, the fuqaha, they speak to the level, if a father has only two children, one boy and one girl, and that father is not that much wealthy to educate both of them.
He has the wealth only to educate one child. To whom he should give the priority? To the baby boy or to the baby girl? To the son or to the daughter? The fuqaha, they have mentioned, if the father, if he doesn't have provision, if he doesn't have much facility to educate both of them, if he has to choose only one among them, he should give priority to the girl than the boy. The fuqaha have mentioned in the kitab. Because when it comes to a girl, it is going to be a family and it is going to be a progeny, because the lack of the mother is the first madrasa for each and every child. So the education should be given to the women folk, then the men folk, if the parents are not that much capable enough to educate the children. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, this is what Islam has given, the right to the women to educate themselves. And not only that, my dear respected mothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, with regard to their marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the right of mahar, whatever amount they want to claim from the husband, they can claim. They can ask for the mahar. Even though it can be a very big amount, she has the right to ask. And until or otherwise, the mahar is paid, it's not mandatory for her to submit herself towards the husband. She has that right also. And my dear respected mothers and sisters, even when it comes to marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limited the number of marriage that the man can have. It cannot be more than four, it cannot be 100, 200, 50, 60. No, it should be maximum four, and justice should be maintained. My dear respected mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the women folk into consideration, and Allah is elevating their status through Quran and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah. And not only that, my dear respected mothers and sisters, when the husband passes away, in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning the rights of inheritance. See the beauty when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the inheritance. Allah clearly says to the women folk that the portion of the men is twice as the portion of women. In this verse, if we look in depth, what we can understand is Allah is going to explain the portion of the man. How much a man will get. To explain that, Allah is telling the portion of the man is twice as the portion of women. That means the portion of women is first of all confirmed. And to tell the portion of the man, Allah is telling it should be the twice or two times than the women folk. So that means first of all Allah is confirming that the women, however they are going to get the portion, and the amount of the portion what the man will get is the two times of a woman which he will get. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, inheritance, that right is given to the women folk. They also can have it. My dear respected mothers and sisters, so in Quran also, if you see, in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not mentioned a surah called Surah Al-Rijal, the chapter of men. But in Quran you see chapter of women, Surah Al-Nisa, a special chapter is allocated for the women folk with their name itself. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, whatever right which Islam has given to the women folk is very justifiable. It's very important we should understand. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the right of women, 1400 years back, in a period where the women folk were not even considered as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ مَا عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Those women folk, they also have some similar rights as they owe to others. Similar rights. Over here it is very important we should understand, my respected mothers and sisters, it is similar right, but it is not same right as men. My dear respected mothers and sisters, equity, gender equity, it's not gender equality. It is very much important we should understand the difference between these two.
In Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ مَا عَلَيْهِنَّ.
They also have some similar rights as they owe to others. Similar rights, not same rights. My dear respected mothers and sisters, what is the difference between similar rights and not same rights? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the human being. Not only human being, the whole world. Whatever the creations are there, it is created by Almighty Allah. My dear respected mothers and sisters, and we know when it comes to gender, the women folk and the men folk, there are biological and psychological differences between men and women. So whatever rights Almighty Allah has prescribed in Sharia, my dear respected mothers and sisters, it is based on the biological and psychological status of the women and the biological and psychological status of the women folk. And there is no doubt, men and women are same. Men and women are same in humanity. Men and women are same in their dignity. Men and women are same in their accountability in front of Almighty Allah, whatever Almighty Allah has prescribed upon them. So they are same in their humanity, they are same in their dignity, and they are same in their accountability in front of Almighty Allah, whatever rules and regulations which Almighty Allah has prescribed upon them. And the rules and regulations, whatever Allah has prescribed, is based on their biological and psychological and their capability, my dear respected mothers and sisters. We should understand this correctly. It's very much important. When it comes to humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the Banu Adam are same in front of Almighty Allah. When it comes to dignity, Allah didn't say that the dignity of the men is more than the dignity of the women folk. No, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most dignity, the most highest ranked person in front of Almighty Allah is the one who fears Almighty Allah more. Allah didn't tell that the men folk are the most higher status people. No, Allah didn't tell in that manner. Allah says, whoever fears Almighty Allah more, those are the most beloved people towards Almighty Allah. So in humanity, they are same as men. In dignity, they are same as men. And in the same manner, accountability in front of Almighty Allah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, my dear respected mothers and sisters, they are answerable, their accountability is there, but the prescription of Almighty Allah is different based on their biological and psychological state. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, when it comes to namaz, we know, when it comes to prayer, even women folk, they should pray, and at the same time, the men folk, they should also pray. But my dear respected mothers and sisters, based on their biological and based on their psychological status, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept some differences. It's not actually discrimination of women, it's actually protecting their dignity. We should understand it. It is equity, it is not equality. It is equity, it is not equality. Namaz, when it comes to prayer, five times a day, it is prescribed, it is farz, it is wajib upon each and every woman and each and every man. There is no difference between them. But based on their psychological and biological basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept some differences. When they have their monthly menstruation cycle, Allah is overlooking their prayer. When the month of Ramadan comes, Allah forgives them. But yes, they have to do qada. But what I'm trying to say is, based on their biological status, Allah is overlooking all those things. And not only that, psychologically, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want the women folk to come to the masjid? My dear respected mothers and sisters, it's very much important to perform our prayers with khushu and khudu. When we, the women folk, come to the masjid, still they might have the figure of their children. They might have the figure of their parents, the old age parents. They might have in some other responsibilities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, women praying inside the house, it is more inaudible than women coming to the masjid. That's why when Ummu Humayda radiallahu anha came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, I like to pray my prayers behind you, Ya Rasulallah, in Imam Jama'ah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood that how much Ummu Humayda radiallahu anha loves Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Prophet didn't show, or Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell her, oh Ummu Humayd, yes, mashaAllah, in Masjid al-Nabawi, where one for namaz is performed, you will be rewarded 50,000 times, and not only that, praying behind Prophet, you will be rewarded in abundance. No, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Ummu Humayd, you praying in my Masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi, but you will be rewarded more if you pray in your mahalla, not in Masjid al-Nabawi. If you pray in your mahalla, you will be rewarded more than that. And not only that, Ummu Humayd, if you pray in your courtyard, in your house, you will be rewarded more than you pray inside the Masjid of your mahalla. And not only that, Ummu Humayd, if you pray inside your room, in seclusion, you will be rewarded more than you pray in your courtyard, you pray in your mahalla, you pray in Masjid al-Nabawi behind Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Based on the biological and psychological status of the women, Allah is rewarding them more. But my dear respected mothers and sisters, they also have some similar things, but not the same as men for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the justice, showing the equity to the humanity in this juncture. It is very much important. That's why when it comes to dress code, it is different than men. When it comes to traveling, it is different than men. When it comes to going to a Qabristan, graveyard, it is different than men. When it comes to any affairs, house affairs, my dear respected mothers and sisters, Allah has kept some differences because there is a difference between men and women biologically and psychologically. My dear respected mothers and sisters, for example, if we say that two shops are under fire, two shops are under fire. Now the fire brigade has come over there, and when they saw the two shops, they did an estimate that 5,000 liters of water should be pumped to this shop to stop the fire which is in one particular shop. For example, shop number A. And they took an estimate, okay, to stop the fire in shop B, they need 3,000 gallons or 3,000 liters of water. Now, if we say, no, it's very unfair, it should be equal. So if we are pumping 5,000 gallons of water to this shop, in the same manner we should pump water 5,000 to the other shop also. If it's 3,000 for this shop, even though we need 5,000 for that shop, no, we should pump 3,000 only, because it should be same, equality, not equity. But my dear respected mothers and sisters, if we try to do the same for the boat, even though we are in need of 5,000 gallons, no, since to the other shop we are pumping only 3,000, we should also pump over here 3,000. No, it is injustice. But what happens after 3,000 gallons, that shop will keep on continuing in under fire, and it will be barbad, it will be destroyed. And at the same time, if we say, no, if it's 5,000, if it's 3,000, no, more than 3,000, we have to pump another 2,000 to this particular shop, because after 3,000, the fire will be extinguished. But my dear respected mothers and sisters, since 2,000 extra gallons, due to the effect of water, that shop will also be destroyed. So over here, it is very much important to understand it should be equity, not equality.
So in the same manner, my dear respected mothers and sisters, does Islam have given rights to the women folk? There is no doubt, when the women were not even considered as human beings, 1400 years back, Allah gave the right to the women folk, the right which Almighty Allah has given, that particular period, it will lie until the Qiyamah, my dear respected mothers and sisters, without any difference. And that right which Almighty Allah has given is the equity, is not the equality, it is similar right, but not the same right. Why is it? Is it discrimination? No, not at all, because the creator of human beings knows the biological and psychological differences between men and women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the right accordingly. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, the rights which have been given to the responsibilities which Almighty Allah has given to the women folk is very much crucial than the responsibilities which Almighty Allah has given to the men folk. Because, my dear respected mothers and sisters, we know in this world, more than men, there are no women. More than women, we know that there are many children, more children. All these children are under the nurturing or under the responsibility of the women folk. If the women folk are very much focused, if they are in their very good track, if they are righteous women, there is no doubt, my dear respected mothers and sisters, when they fulfill or when they nurture the children, our future generation will be also righteous, they will be also pious, and they will also come to the correct track. But unfortunately, if the women folk under whom the children are to be nurtured, if they are not in the proper track, my dear respected mothers and sisters, unfortunately, our future generation will also go astray. There is no doubt of it. So it is very much important, as it is mentioned 1400 years since the rights of women or the women were not considered as human beings, it is called as Ayyamul Jahiliyyah. 1400 years before, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the work of da'wah, and that era afterwards was called as the Khairul Qurun, the best of the centuries, my dear respected mothers and sisters. The Ayyamul Jahiliyyah afterwards was called as the Khairul Qurun, the most best century. The reason why that era was called as the most best century, the ulama ikram, they say, because of the women folk. Those days, they were very concerned about their husband's rights. They were very concerned about their children's rights. They were very concerned about the society service. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, since the women folk have fulfilled their responsibilities, the ulama ikram and even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my century is the best among the centuries. It's because of the women folk. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, a period or a zamana can be called as Ayyamul Jahiliyyah because of women. And at the same time, a zamana, a period can be called as the best of the centuries because of the women folk. So it is very much important, my dear respected mothers and sisters, we also understand properly what are the rights and responsibilities we have. When it comes to rights, as I mentioned, it is not same rights as men, it is similar rights as men. When it comes to responsibilities, some crucial responsibilities are upon the women folk, my dear respected mothers and sisters. So it is very much important all the period to be changed. It is very much important the women folk, they should change themselves. If they are changed, if they are in the righteous way, my dear respected mothers and sisters, there is no doubt the future generation will also change themselves. Unfortunately, we are all worried about our children. We say that children are not in the correct track, they are not under our supervision, they have a lot of freedom and they are going astray, we are unable to control them. My dear respected mothers and sisters, we also understand all those things. But the main thing over here is,
if we want to change our future generation, it is very much important we first of all change ourselves. A person goes to a photocopy, who goes to a communication and he wants to take a photocopy. He has a document with him, he wants to go and take a photocopy. So he gives the person who is over there, can you please get a copy of this? So when the copy was given, he says, the person says, this copy is not clear enough, can you please take another copy? So the second copy was taken. To see the second copy is also not clear, so he started to blame. Bhai, your machine is not good enough. See, the copy is not clear. Can you take the third copy? Because I want a very clear copy. But that shopkeeper, he said, according to my knowledge, this machine is not the problem. May I see your original document, please? So he opened and he saw the original document. To see the original document itself is not clear. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, if the original document is not clear, how come the photocopy can be clear? In the same manner, each and every one in this era, we want our children to be good mannered, we want our children to be pious, we want our children to be good behaving children, but unfortunately we want our copy to be clear, but unfortunately the original, that means the parents, they are not clear enough. They are not in the correct track. If the original is not clear, how come, my dear respected mothers and sisters, how come a copy can be clear? So it is very much important, my dear respected mothers and sisters, when we are living in this era, first of all we should rectify ourselves, and then we should try to rectify our children. If we are in the correct track, beshak, without any doubt, inshaAllah, our children will also come to a correct track. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, when it comes to our responsibility, it's very much important we should understand the most important responsibility which a woman has is towards her husband. If a person asks a question, to whom a woman should respect more, whether to the parents or whether to the husband, what will be the answer? If I ask a question from you, my dear sister, to whom a woman should show her utmost respect, to the parents or to the husband, what will be the answer? When this question was asked from Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, at once he gave the answer, the respect towards husband should be more than the respect towards the parents. Sometimes we might be surprised, why is that? Parents, they were the means for us to come to this world, husband is afterwards, why we should respect more to husband than our parents? My dear respected mothers and sisters, Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, he brings many evidence to show, and all the scholars are unanimous on this. I am not going to tell you that there is a difference of opinion in this view. No, there is no such difference of opinion. My dear respected mothers and sisters, if husband says something and the parents say something, to whom this wife, to whom this woman should obey, all the ulama are unanimous, unless otherwise, whatever the husband is telling, it is contrary or against the sharia. If it's not like that, she should obey to the husband, not to the parents. My dear respected brothers and sisters, Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi says, the first evidence for it is, because in a hadith Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if I would have given the opportunity that a woman should prostrate after Almighty Allah, after prostrating, after doing sujood to Almighty Allah, if a person is given an opportunity to prostrate to another person, I would say that a wife should prostrate to the husband. So over here, ulama-e-kiram, they say that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say a daughter should prostrate, do sujood to the father or mother. No, no, we might say that al-jannatu ta'da aqdamil ummahat, the jannah lies beneath the feet of the mother. All those hadith are in one side, but Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over here, he clearly mentioned that if I was given an opportunity to a person to prostrate after Almighty Allah, I would have said that a wife should prostrate to sujood to her husband. So because of this, what we understand is the dignity of the husband is higher than the dignity of the parent after she gets married. And not only that, my dear respected mother and sister, it is clearly mentioned in the hadith that if a woman, if she is going to fast, voluntary fast, sunnah rozi, it's not farz, it's not Ramadan, when it comes to Monday, Thursday, if a woman wants to fast, if she is married, it is mandatory that she should get the permission of her husband, without which she cannot do a voluntary fasting. So the same question might arise before getting married, when she is young, 16, 17, 18, before getting married, if she wants to, what, fast, is it mandatory for her to get her father's or mother's permission? No, not at all. So based on this, the ulama ikram, a woman to do her voluntary ibadat, she should seek the permission of the husband to do the voluntary ibadat. Ashraf Ali Talibi rahmatullahi alayhi, to explain this further, he used to give an example. For example, one day the husband is at home, and the time of Zuhr comes, and the wife is now performing Zuhr namaz at home. After performing the farz Zuhr namaz at home, my dear respected mother and sister, she gives salam, and before she starts her tasbihah, and before she starts her nawafil, it is mandatory upon her to ask few words from the husband, I have finished my faraid, I have finished my farz, is there any need towards me so that I can fulfill your need? Otherwise, please permit me so that I can fulfill my tasbihah and I can fulfill my nawafil. So to do the perform the nawafil for the farz, no need of asking the permission from the husband. But when it comes to namaz, nawafil, it is mandatory upon her to get the husband's permission. Since the husband is at home, even Allah is overlooking the voluntary ibadat of a woman when the husband is at home. So if Allah is overlooking it, just imagine, my dear respected mothers and sisters, how much we should be concerned to fulfill the rights of our husband. It's very much important. That's why in a saying, Amma Aisha radiallahu anha, once she said, Ya ma'ashara al-nisa, law ta'alamna bihaqti azwajikunna alaykunna, laja'alati al-mar'atu tansa'ul ghubara an kadami zawjiha bihaqti wajihiha. Ya ma'ashara al-nisa, O women folk, Amma Aisha radiallahu anha says, O women folk, if you knew the right that your husband has upon you, if you know the right that the husband has upon you, you, all of you, might bite the dust which is there in your husband's feet by your face, by your cheek. Whatever dust has stuck in your husband's feet, you might go forward, not with the clothes, not with your hand, by your cheek or by your face, you might rub off or you might bite off the dust which is stuck in your husband's feet if you clearly name the right of husband which he has upon you. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, this is what Islam says. It is very much important for a woman. For a woman to enter Jannah is very easy. It's very easy. Sallat khamsaha, if she prays five times a day, صامت شهرها, and if she fasts in the month of Ramadan, and at the same time, if the husband is pleased with him, she will be told from which door are you willing to enter Jannah. From which door are you willing to enter Jannah? What is the three amal she have done? First of all, 5-time prayer. Number 2, Ramadan fasting. And number 3, husband is pleased with her. Husband is pleased with him. So my dear respected mother and sisters, it is very much important if each and every girl or woman, if she wants to be a Jannati, she should have the passion that my husband should be pleased with me. She should try her best to get the pleasure of the husband more than the parents. It's very much important for her. My dear respected mothers and sisters, once in a hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِنِسَائِكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِنِسَائِكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ Shouldn't I tell you which women will be in Jannah? What are the characteristics of a woman? Who will be in Jannah? The Sahaba ikram said, Bala ya Rasulullah, please tell us the characteristics of a Jannati ya Rasulullah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Badudul Balud. Al-Badud. Al-Badud is the woman who loves the husband excessively. Loves the husband very much. Al-Badud, and the woman who is ready to bear many children. And third quality, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا غَضِبَتْ أَوْ أُسِيبَتْ إِلَيْهَا أَوْ أُسِيئَ إِلَيْهَا أَوْ غَضِبَ زَوْجُهَا If she is ill-treated, or if she is angry with the husband, or if the husband is angry with her, there is a small dispute between the husband and wife, her quality will be, please listen to me, my dear respected mother and sister. Whatever we are discussing over here, this knowledge will be not shared in the current any other education system. This ilm or this knowledge is only shared in the Islamic knowledge. Other than that, we will ever never find this kind of knowledge. My dear respected mothers and sisters, now Islam says, this woman to be a Jannati, what characteristics she should have? There is a dispute between her and her husband. In this juncture, the way she behaves is, my dear respected mothers and sisters, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَذِهِ يَدِي فِي يَدِكْ لَا أَقْتَحِلُ بِغَمْلٍ حَتَّى تَرْضَى That woman should go forward, hold the husband's hand. While holding his hand, she should say, هَذِهِ يَدِي فِي يَدِكْ I have kept my hand upon your hand. I am holding your hand and asking, لَا أَقْتَحِلُ بِغَمْلٍ حَتَّى تَرْضَى I will ever never apply some surma to my eyes and have a peace sleep unless otherwise you are pleased with me, unless otherwise you forgive me. Even though the mistake is from his end, but still Islam says, the characteristic of a Jannati is, she comes forward, she holds the hand of the husband, and she comes forward and says, please forgive me. Please be pleased with me. Unless you are pleased with me, I will ever never put summa and I will ever never sleep, have a peace of me. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, why Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned these things? Because a time might come where the women folk will be very hard upon their husbands. That's why to this level Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. And we can see these qualities in the life of the wife of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned whenever Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters the house, Amma Aisha radiallahu anha used to come forward, beautify herself, sing some couplets, and welcome Hazrat Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside the house. She used to sing, Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. وَشَمْسِي خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَائِي لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْ آفَاقِ شَمْسٌ Allah has created a sun in the horizon, in the sky. And at the same time, Allah has created a sun for me. Sun means Suraj. Allah has given me a sun. My sun is my beloved husband. One sun is in the sky, in the horizon. and the other son which Almighty Allah has given me is my beloved husband. وَشَمْسِي خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَاءِ. And the sun and the suraj which Almighty Allah has given me, bestowed me, it is more preferable, more beloved than the sun which is in the horizon. فَإِنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَقْبُرُ بَعْدَ الْفَجْرِ وَشَمْسِي تَقْبُرُ بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ. The sun which is in the horizon, it used to rise after dawn. The sun which is in the horizon, it used to rise after dawn. But my son, my beloved husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to rise upon me after Isha namaz. My dear respected mothers and sisters, a wife beautifying herself, putting the bearing the jewelry and best of her dress and apply fragrance and welcoming her husband while she is seeing some chocolate. See how much wonderful life might be there inside that house, my dear respected mother and sister. And wallah, I am telling, even in these days we see some women who are in this nation. There are women of this nation. My dear respected mothers and sisters, so the first of all the rights towards the main responsibility which a woman has is towards the husband. And it's very much important mistake might take place even by each and every husband. Mistakes might happen, but it's very much important we should be a woman or a wife of patience, forgiving, all those things are very important. That's why a Badu. When he got married the first night, he sang some couplets to the wife. In the beginning he said, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ مِنِّي تَسْتَدِينِي مَوَدَّتِي وَلَا تَنْتِقِي فِي مَقْتٍ حِينَ أَغْضَبُ. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ مِنِّي تَسْتَدِينِي مَوَدَّتِي. It's very important you should forgive me. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ مِنِّي. If I seek forgiveness from you, please forgive me, because I am an insan. I might do some mistakes. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ مِنِّي. But please, you forgive me. If you forgive me, تَسْتَدِينِي مَوَدَّتِي, even my love will be eternal for you. If you forgive me, I will be loving you until your death. وَلَا تَنْتِقِي فِي وَقْتٍ حِينَ أَغْضَبُ. And another very important advice is that Bidouin, he said, but please don't utter a single word when I am in anger, when I am in high temperament. If you also start to speak, if you start to argue with me, that will come and end in divorce. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, it is not only a Bidouin, even Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the same advice to Hawla bint Sa'laba. You forgive your husband and please be patient with your husband, because I see your husband is a very high temperament person. So be very calm, don't speak when he is speaking with you, when he is arguing with you. So the same advice is Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has given. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, in this bayan, it's not necessary to speak what the husband should do to the wife, because we have separate bayan for them. But over here, what I am trying to make you understand is, my dear respected mothers and sisters, more than the parents, the husband has rights towards the wife. It's very much important each and every woman, each and every wife should see whether my husband is pleased with me. If he is not pleased, Allah is not pleased with me, Jibreel is not pleased with me, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not pleased with me. So I should try my best. So long I am not going to commit a haram, I should fulfill my husband's requirement. It's very much important. In the same manner, my dear respected mothers and children, mothers and sisters, when it comes to children, it is also very much important, each and every woman, they should be very concerned about their children. Beshak, my dear respected mothers and sisters, the children are a photocopy of their mother. Whatever attitude, whatever ibadat, whatever good behavior, bad behavior, which she has, the same will be copied or transferred to the children. We want our children to be like Imam Shafi'i. We want our children to be like Imam Bukhari. We want our children to be like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or all those things. But my dear respected brothers and sisters, the question is, are we behaving in the same way? How Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah's mother was behaving? Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say, I memorized the Quran when I was 7 years old. And I memorized whole Muwatta Malik, the only hadith kitab at that period. I have memorized it totally when I was only 9 years old. So the people, they ask, oh Imam Shafi'i, how come you got so powerful quwwatul hifz, so powerful memory power? So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, at once the answer was, it's because of my mother. When I was 7, I memorized the Quran. 9, I have memorized the Muwatta Malik. What's the reason? Because of my mother. What's your mother? Then he answered, because my mother has ever never breastfed me unless otherwise she has taken ablution. Without wudu, she has not fed me. It's easy to say, my dear respected mothers and sisters, just think, if an infant, if a child cries at midnight, 12 o'clock, is it easy for us to go and take wudu? Where wudu, taking ablution, is not even farz, it's not even a sunnah, but the pious, righteous woman, they had the practice of doing wudu before giving, feeding the children. My dear respected mothers and sisters, when Qutubuddin Mukhtiyar rahmatullahi alayhi was admitted in the maktab, madrasa, when he was only 3 years old. 3 years old, first day he is going to the madrasa maktab, when the muallim is teaching, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Qutubuddin Mukhtiyar rahimahullah started with ta'awud and he completed 14 volumes, 14 juzu of Quran. The muallim was surprised. He asked, Qutubuddin, you are only 3 years, you have memorized this much? How come? He said, oh my ustad, oh my muallim, even my mother, she is not a hafiza. She has also memorized only 14 juzu of Quran. Whenever she feeds me, whenever she rocks me, whenever she washes me, whenever she does her work at home, she used to keep on reciting the Quran. So whatever Quran is there in her heart, the same Quran is there in my heart, but I do not know the alfaz or the letters of Quran. That's why my mother has sent me to the maktab to learn the letters of the Quran. My dear respected mothers and sisters, these are the predecessors which we have seen. Salafus Salihin. So what we say, we can say, because the women folk of that Khairul Qurun, the best of the centuries, the women folk, they were pious, they were righteous, the way they brought up their children. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, the same, if we also apply, there is no doubt our future generation will also have a very big change. So it's very much important to bring a very deeny or religious environment in the house. And that bringing the religious environment in the house is the responsibility of a woman, my dear respected mothers and sisters. Ha, there is a responsibility for the men, but more responsibility is for the women. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since there is a biological and psychological difference, the women have the right, but not the same right as the men, but similar rights as the men. But my dear respected mothers and sisters, as I mentioned, the crucial responsibilities are given to the women folk to nurture the children, give tarbiyah to the children in the proper manner. Otherwise, the whole humanity will go in astray. If they do not fulfill their responsibility in the correct way, there is no excuses, my dear respected mothers and sisters. We cannot say that my husband is very worse. He doesn't perform namaz. He is not religious. He doesn't go for Jum'ah also. That's why I cannot bring my children in the proper manner. That's why I also cannot adhere to the Sharia. These excuses will not work in front of Almighty Allah. Why? My dear respected mothers and sisters, if you see the history, where Allah says in the Quran, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah says in the Quran, Allah is giving you an example. O believers, Allah is giving you an example for a righteous human being, for a righteous believer, for a correct believer. If you want to see a correct believer, this is the example which Allah shows. But when Allah is going to show for the believer an example for the believer and a role model for the believer, Allah didn't mention a name of a prophet. Allah didn't mention a name of a messenger. Allah didn't mention a name of a sahabi. Allah didn't mention a name of a sahabiya. Allah mentions the name of the wife of Fir'aun. Allah gives the example of wife of Fir'aun, who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am the great Rabb. Allah gives the example of Fir'aun's wife to show, if you want to see a role model Muslim, a role model believer, a role model righteous person, you see the wife of Fir'aun, how pious she was. So, in this whole gathering, can somebody say, Oh Hazrat, what you are speaking, Hazrat, my husband is worse than Fir'aun? Can we say like that? Who can say like that? So that's why I am telling my dear respected mothers and sisters, we do not have any excuse in front of Almighty Allah. That's why Allah says, you see the wife of Fir'aun, how much she was tortured, but the dua what she have asked, Rabbi binili baytan, وَرَبِّ بِنِلِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. See the dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the dua in the Quran. Ya Allah, in my whole life I am living beside one of the most worst person. So Ya Allah, my dua is, رَبِّ بِنِلِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا, please build next to you Ya Allah, near to you, Ya Allah. Now, she is asking the companionship of Almighty Allah. Because you kept me in the world with Fir'aun. Now, I want to be with you, Ya Allah. Rabbi binili indaka, near you, by the house, fil Jannah. Lastly, she is asking Jannah. So, it is mentioned in a hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in a hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, Khadija radiallahu anha, O Khadija, before I got married with you, I have married another woman. She was surprised, Ya Rasulullah, I am the only wife of yours. How come you got married before me? No, Khadija, what I want to explain you is, Allah has made Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, get married with me in Jannah. So see the reward which Almighty Allah has given. He cannot say, UK, you know the environment, it is corrupted, how we can be righteous. No, no, if you are even the wife of Fir'aun, you are in the worst of the environment, but still you can be the righteous, because Asiya, she lives beside Fir'aun, but she is the most best role model for the whole humanity. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, see, the award which Almighty Allah, the reward which Almighty Allah gave her, she lived beside the most worst person. So Allah is making her the wife of the most best person, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She resided in this world, which is a temporary world, and Allah in the eternal world in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making her in the eternal life as the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, it is very much important. We might have many things in this world, but one day there is no doubt we are going to pass away, we are going to die. Nobody is going to help us. Whatever deen we have, we should first of all understand what the right Almighty Allah has given. I am not speaking the right which the government has given. I am not speaking the right which the world has given. No, whatever rights that Almighty Allah has given, We might think that it's some sort of a discrimination. No, my dear respected mothers and sisters. We should believe that Almighty Allah is the creator. Allah is the creator of the whole humanity. Whatever right that Almighty Allah has given us, that based on my biological and psychological status, that is the correct equity which should be given. It's not the equality we need. And at the same time, we should identify our responsibilities. There are many responsibilities. I only indicated into two responsibilities, my respected mothers and sisters. So when we pass away from this dunya, it is very much important we fulfill all the requirements that Almighty Allah has kept in front of us, the deen which Almighty Allah has prescribed, so that before we die, my dear respected mothers and sisters, Allah will also make us happy in this world and the life, eternal life also. That's why a Buzurak elderly person, he used to say, وَلَدَتْكَ إِذْ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ بَاقِيَا وَالنَّاسُ حَوْلَكَ يَضْحَكُونَ سُرُورًا وَلَدَتْكَ إِذْ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ بَاقِيَا O son of Adam, when your mother gave birth to you, when your mother gave birth to you, you came to this world crying. وَلَدَتْكَ إِذْ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ بَاقِيَا When your mother gave birth to you, you were crying. Because we know, as the child comes out of the womb of the mother, that child should cry. If the child didn't cry, there is a problem with the child. The doctor might make the child to cry. But at the same time, وَالنَّاسُ حَوْلَكَ يَضْحَكُونَ سُرُورًا You were crying, but at the time of your birth, you were crying, but the people who were surrounding you, all were laughing and smiling. They were joyful to see you, but you in the bed, you were crying. But the people who are surrounding you, they were very joyful, they were very happy to see a child of this nature. And that elderly person says, وَعْمَلْ لِيَوْمٍ أَنْ تَكُونَ إِذَا بَكَوْا فِي يَوْمِ مَوْتِكَ ضَاحِكًا مَسْرُورًا And you prepare yourself to a day. You prepare yourself for a day. Which day you will pass away from this world. You will die. And the surrounding, when your janazah is kept, the people who are surrounding you, they will look at the janazah and they will start to cry. On the day you were born, the people surrounding were laughing, smiling with joy. But the day when you pass away, your children will cry, your husband might cry, your parents might cry, your sisters, brothers might cry, the whole world might cry. But you try your best. While you pass away, if you also cry, your whole life will be in corruption after that. So you try your best. While you are passing away, you try your best to laugh, smile and pass away from this dunya. For that, my dear respected mothers and sisters, we should go to a saloon, beautify ourselves, smile and do some trials. When my death comes, I should smile. No, all those things will not work, my dear respected mothers and sisters. While we are living in this world, we should cry in front of Almighty Allah, so that Almighty Allah at the time of death, Allah will show us Jannah, and while the soul is removed from our body, while seeing the Jannah, we will smile, we will laugh, and the surrounding people, they might cry, but Allah will make us to smile and laugh, my dear respected mother and sister. So it is very much important to understand our rights, and understand our responsibilities and fulfill all those rights and responsibilities. Whatever we have discussed, may Almighty Allah give us the opportunity to act upon it. So my dear respected mothers and sisters, Jazakumullahu khairan jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.